I have known Janice Lane Ewart for many years as a colleague and a friend through community radio. Janice was born and raised in Chicago. She moved to Minneapolis in the late 1980s. She was an executive director of KFAI Fresh Air Community Radio for 12 years, where she also produced the long-standing jazz show The Collective Eye. She's currently development officer for jazz station KBEM. Janice has dedicated her life to cultural activism and community service, and late last year, I was fortunate to be able to attend a ceremony at the Ordway Theater, where Janice's work and dedication were honored with a Sally Award. The Sallys are named for Sally Ordway Irving, and they celebrate individuals and institutions that strengthen and enrich Minnesota with their commitment to the arts and arts education. Janice received the award for commitment. Janice Lane Ewart is on the phone with me this morning to talk about her commitment to the arts in this particular time and place. Good morning, Janice. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm happy to hear your voice and to have an opportunity to explore some of the highlights of being committed to arts and arts institutions.
Receiving a Sally Award is a significant honor, and so maybe we can start there, because I want to congratulate you and ask you to tell us the story of how your life led you to that level of commitment.
I would say my connection to radio, as well as growing up in Chicago, where there were lots of opportunities to really experience live music, once I ventured into that arena of actually seeing artists within my community coming together to produce their own performances, to make sure that they were connected with nonprofit organizations that could present them at a larger scale, really opened my eyes to the level of engagement that it lent to the performing artist, as well as those of us who were audience members, those of us who had no clue what it would take to actually to produce a concert, but could go and hear the music, be enveloped in the stories and traditions that are associated with live music. And for me, it made a transformational change. I couldn't walk away from the creativity and what each individual musician, artist, composer were giving back to the community to keep a tradition alive.
You know, yesterday we talked a while on the phone, and the funeral had just ended for George Floyd, and it was wrapping up in Houston when we talked, and you talked about growing up in Chicago and the importance of music and literature and, you know, your experiences in going to the church, you know, for all day sometimes on a Sunday, and what that meant to you. These are big cornerstones in your growing up and really helped you become the person you are today.
Yes, I agree. When I think back on the general energy and particularly I'll just talk about the church at this point, because it wasn't close to my house. We'd have to take a bus. And sometimes my sister and I would leave together, and the 25 cents that we have for bus fare, we would instead walk and then spend that after church on candy or whatever 25 cents could buy at that time. But I say this in a long about way to say that the traditions of being in a community every Sunday with a variety of people from the community, some I knew, some I only met through going to Sunday school church or going to a service, and it was all centered around ensuring that you, as a up-and-coming adult, were welcomed, had a sense of what opportunities were available for you, who you could really engage with if you had an issue that was a little too scary to talk to your parents about. You had these surrogate members of your family, so to speak, that you could discuss issues and come up with some solutions. And while the main artistic expression was through the choir, there weren't instruments in the church at the time I was coming up. It was a good lead-in to what I'm doing now, where I'm particularly immersed, in all forms of the arts. Particularly jazz has taken most of my heart, so to speak, and particularly knowing that it's a form of music where it's sometimes very unpredictable, which is similar to life, and it's presented a platform for upon which I feel comfortable in being for and with community.
Yeah. Well, you know, you discovered jazz at a point in your life, and it has become so important to you, as you say, and you have a lot of connections with and in the jazz community. Your husband is an acclaimed jazz musician, and I can just imagine how many jazz concerts you must have been attending before COVID-19. What was your pre-COVID jazz life like?
You're correct. I would go to a live performance at least twice a month, sometimes three, depending on the accessibility to my bank account at the time that I'd make these decisions. At some point, I also recognized the supporting of specific institutions where you could become a member and receive a discount for the cost of admission, then moved me to another place where I was attending more performances regularly, and particularly artists who were coming from other places that I'd rarely get to see. I would make every effort to manage my budget to be able to enjoy what they have to offer, but to also make sure that they recognized they were being supported. The feeling of being a performer and going into a gig and there's seating for 25 and there are 12 people can be disconcerting. And of course, professionals learn to live with that and don't judge what they contribute by the number of people in the audience. But I figured if I could help make a difference as one person, I would do my best to do so.
How have you been able to experience music these days since the pandemic has shut down so many of our musical performances? Has this changed your relationship to the music at all?
It's given me a new perspective, frankly, because now I continue to receive messaging about performances that are captured through a Zoom mechanism. And while there are no live people in the space where the musicians are performing, they're giving their all to the medium in which they're engaged because they know someone and lots of someone's at this junction with the change that has taken place will take the time to go on a website and see a full performance and know that there's not an actual live audience there, but you as the person viewing it online don't really get that sense because the band is giving you their all. They're treating the experience as though you were right there in the room with them. And it was an adjustment, however, recognizing the circumstances that we're all managing, I'd rather that than no music.
You know, you told me a story about when you discovered this very colorful jazz album at a library when you were young. What was that experience like for you?
Well, I was in college at Northwestern University. I had not experienced libraries where you could actually select something that you wanted to hear, put it on a turntable, they'd give you earphones, and you could listen to whatever you wanted as long as you wanted. And I came across an album cover that was very colorful. It had African symbolism. I wasn't aware of what it represented at the time. but it drew my attention. And when I put it on, put it on the turntable, it was so different from anything I'd ever listened to that I turned it over, played the second side, and then I went back to the first because it was unique. The artist was Pharoah Saunders, who's a well-beloved reed player, plays just about all of the wind instruments. And he had different tones and sounds and a different experience with each recording, with each composition that was on the record. And I found myself going back to the library to study every week thereafter and finding a new recording, introducing myself to something completely unheard of in my home. And it led me down this road.
Well, we are talking with Janice Lane Ewart, and she received a Sally Award this year for her commitment to the arts and arts education. Music is a real big part of how we express our grief and our hope in times where, and now we have these times where we're restricted in our audiences due to the pandemic. Do you have advice for people who are trying to get that lift in their lives right now?
Well, I would say that there are great opportunities to really speak with your friends and colleagues if you are not sure if they are engaged in supporting the arts live. It's a good conversation starter, asking someone if they've been to one of the many presenting sites here in the Twin Cities. I don't want to favor one over the other, but just to begin the conversation and say, hey, I really would like to get out. We've been pretty much coped up in the house for a while. Do you know any performances that are taking place? Maybe it's music, maybe it's dance, maybe it's theater. The joy of being in the Twin Cities is that seriously, on any weekend for sure, you can find an opportunity to go out and support live creators who are doing what they do best for themselves, first of all, because it's their calling. It's what really shapes their personality and their, many times, their vision and mission in life. And it's also for us who learned something new, experienced another way of hearing a bassoon, an instrument I never knew about when I was growing up, or finding yourself listening so closely that you don't know what the instrument is, but you want to know, so you'll look at the album cover, or you'll go online and research the artist, or you'll call another friend and say, hey, I'm listening to this thing. Do you know anything about it? Can you help me?
Yeah.
It really helps in the expansion of your mind and expansion within your community, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things that you have said that has really touched me is about reaching out and staying in touch with people, even though we're physically distant. And also, as our nation is reengaging in a struggle for civil rights, and how are you doing that?
I'm still on the path of being comfortable asking about what I don't know, giving time to support opportunities for the growth in our community, if it means volunteering to collect tickets or to help get a mailing out. Sometimes there are nonprofit organizations that still need help in folding and stuffing concert announcements into an envelope to get them out to their audience. It's a community here in the Twin Cities where if you have an interest and if you're not quite sure how to spark it, there are plenty of people you can ask. Yeah. There are organizations like KAXC that someone could call and say, I have this time, what can I do for you? I can say it's very different than how I grew up in Chicago, certainly the nonprofit entity was not nearly as well-defined and supportive of all spectrums of life as it is now. There were community centers in my neighborhood. That's where I became immersed in theater, a community theater company at the end of the block that gave free tickets to young people that wanted to see a play. It's where I learned what it meant to be a director versus a performing artist. And I felt welcome because there was no one who'd ever say, I don't know the answer to that. They would send you to the person that could answer your question about a play or an instrument or why did they have intermission, things I just didn't experience right within the scope of my home, my house, but within my neighborhood, those things began to help me blossom and were pivotal points in moving myself to the work that I love to do now.
Janice, I know you live, your neighborhood where you live now in Minneapolis is very close to the spot where George Floyd was killed. And I don't want to wrap up without asking you how your neighborhood is coping right now and how the people are coming together. What is happening where you live?
Well, one of the joyful elements of this very tragic incident is that it has helped our neighbors on each block come together and put together mechanisms by which we now have watch shifts. We now have each neighbor having contact information for everyone on their side of the block. Should something untoward take place, there's a person who's designated each day to be the watch person and to alert neighbors if there's something untoward happening. And I've seen the coming together of people that I would see going into their garage or wave at them when they're going into their house. But now we really have a sense that together we can ensure that we have the comfort of safety, that we're building relationships that are now based on some of the closeness of being near Chicago Avenue and where most of the activity was taking place, but knowing at night that that was not the case. And we need to stand together in the instance that something unexpected happened. It's been a growing period at a time when I didn't expect that to happen. We've had National Night Out every year and people come out, yet it's not, that wasn't the mechanism that built us into now this sense of person to person, looking out for each other kind of community experience. It's different.
Yeah. Those connections are so important in the arts and in our communities.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Janice, it is always a pleasure to talk to you. And please take care, stay safe, stay well. And thanks for all that you've done.
Thank you as well. Your commitment in the field of public broadcasting is stellar, and I am fortunate to have come under your tutelage and have grown to be a partner in the movement of community radio. So thank you very much.
Thanks. That is Janice Lane Ewart. She is recipient of this year's Sally Award for Commitment to the Arts and Arts Education. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show, connecting you to people who are making a difference.